This is the 1895 podcast, official podcast of Shelburne FC, bringing you news, views and interviews from inside Tolka Park, Dublin's finest since 1895. Here's your host, Stephen Duty.
Hello, welcome to the 1895 podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne Football Club, and we are brought to you by Go Loud. Go Loud is the home of Irish podcasting, and Go Loud is the home of your champions. Ben, can we still say that in May?
Yes, as of now, we are the current League of Ireland champions. And hello, Duty.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I've gone off the boil a bit with my intros the last couple of weeks. I think I'm just so excited. I'm so excited to, I don't know, I just feel really good. There's been a bit of last few weeks, a lot of people are a bit ratty, and as a wise man said, you know, the question box is always busier when we lose or when we don't play as well. But a very, very busy question box this week. An awful lot of praise for an awful lot of people, as it should be. But Ben, how's your week been? Well, I ask you this, it's Monday. How was your weekend, Ben?
Brilliant. The Reds obviously secured the big 3 points. Didn't do much for the weekend. The week's off to a good start because, Duty, this is my last week in work before my lovely summer holidays. Just to make you a bit angry, Duty, today was exam supervision. So, supervised 2 exams and went home.
If there wasn't people listening to us now, I'd be asking you how much you got paid for that. But we won't go down that route now.
It's been a good week, especially, I think, teed up by an unbelievable result on Friday, and actually I got a chance to watch it back. I think I enjoyed it a bit more the second time.
You always do, I think, because you can kind of, it's like watching, obviously it's not a fair comparison, but like when you watch the Derry away game last year back, you can just relax because you know what happens. similar kind of vibe from Friday. Just while you're talking about breaks and time off there, in case I forget to mention it, there won't be a podcast next week just with the international break. I think it's good for us to take a little week off as well, when we can squeeze one in. Doesn't do any harm, and I won't be here for the next couple of weeks because my wonderful partner is about to give birth, so there's nappies to be changed, and of course there'll be a baby to deal with as well. So I won't be here for the next couple of weeks. I think I have a host lined up that's going to take the reins. But, of course, Ben, as always, that damn personal life getting in the way of Shell's business. I was going to say this at the end. There's a strong chance I'll forget. So, there
that's
we go.
Okay, really, because we have, obviously, that wonderful thing to look forward to of you and your lovely partner bringing it. A young Harry Wood Duty or John Martin Duty or whatever Shell's name you can squeeze in there.
Yeah, I think the Harry dream could be over.
No.
That night in Derry, you would have been on the end of this drunk talk where I was like, that's it. If it's a boy, it's Harry. It's Harry, definitely. Don't know if it's going to happen. I don't think so. It's not looking good. John, league winning goal versus a hat trick against Sligo. Might have to weigh that up a little bit, but
so Harry it is. I've just made
good old Juan Martin. He just morphed into this. Saying John Martin has morphed into this outrageous hat trick scorer isn't fair. That's definitely not fair. Look, we'll get to John.
Not even his first senior hat trick.
Ah, fuck off, Ben. I will never learn, right? It takes 2 seconds to just double check. And you know what's worse on this occasion? I fucking checked.
I watched you painfully scroll year by year, double checking that this man has never scored a senior hat trick before. And you're like, yep, in the clear, first senior hat trick. It took about 10 minutes to go through all that stuff on your phone.
But you know what? Come on, these players not give me a break one of these weeks and just be like, first senior hat-trick. And then when we stop recording, say, it's actually not. Because people only know because John said. If he hadn't have mentioned it, nobody'd know.
I got a good laugh out of it. And
yeah, I'd say you fucking did.
I also refused to edit it out, so.
Yeah, well, look, that's part of the game. So, I dropped a few clangers in those interviews. I still think the Boydie one was worse. Blaming Boydie for giving away a penalty live on Virgin Media when he didn't was pretty bad.
And it was actually John Martin, I think.
Yeah, it was John Martin, that bastard. So, yeah, there's a bit of karma. Forget about your first division hat-trick, John. Where it's a level playing field now. We're waffling already and we're only 5 minutes in. That, I was about to say that's not a good sign, but it's probably a good sign because it means we're both in good form. Friday, it was, people were saying it was a must win. You know, got to find a way to do it, just get the 3 points. It's gas that when you only win, like, what have we won? One and whatever amount of games and all the noise outside, people saying, they won't do anything, they've fallen off, they're, you know, and then they're going to have Europe, they'll fall away, they won't do anything. There was a sense of panic outside the club. Don't think we panicked. I don't think there was any sense of that from within the walls, but it was a massive 3 points, so, so important to get it.
Dude, I think you just sum it up there. When you say all of that noise from outside, that's exactly what it was. It was just noise. It was just chatter from people whose opinions aren't valued. Their opinions don't matter. They're just saying stuff for the sake of saying it on the internet. That wasn't really the mood. Certainly within the confines of Talca Park, no one really thought that. I think it was just very much a business as usual kind of thing of just, yeah, we'll go out and do the job. And that's exactly what was done.
Yeah, it was coming. Like, I certainly had no sense of panic. Definitely not. Panic would be the wrong word. More frustrated, but I think everyone was kind of frustrated, and it was more frustration that it just wasn't happening. It wasn't falling for us. It wasn't, I can't remember, who did I do in the last interview said, like, Lorcan Healy, sorry, had said, just feels like the bounce of a ball, maybe, or we just need something to drop the right way, and all of a sudden things will click back in. We kind of mentioned last week's pod that John O'Sullivan was probably due a start. He got that start. We'd Evan Caffrey swapped, obviously, to the left wing back position. We'll come to Evan shortly, but happy for John O'Sullivan. Came in really solid. And I think he deserved a start. And in a weird way, I think he deserved to have a good performance. And definitely did, didn't he?
Yeah, I thought he was really, really strong when he came in. Obviously, he's coming in new role, but he brought a lot of energy to that role, a lot of personality. Like, he just has that quality that when you do see it, like, he's so good.
Yeah, the manager has kind of said a few times about John that, like, he's a really big kind of personality, and, like, he's one of the kind of leaders. And I know some people think because you don't, like, play 99% of the games, you can't be in that type of role. But I remember somebody, I can't remember who it was, but it was during the kind of post-match scenes up in Derry, somebody was like, this man runs the dressing room. It was just before I did an interview with him. So, like, he's obviously, could you say unsung hero a little bit in the background?
I don't know. I think, to be fair to John, with the absences currently, I think he's a big personality to have.
Yeah, I'm probably being a bit unfair on him there because, like, any time John has played, he's played really, really well. And it shouldn't be a surprise, but I think because that mob up the road just seemed to strip him of any kind of confidence he had, nobody ever knew what we were going to get, but he's definitely become a solid part of it.
Yeah, but they have a team of bin men, and we've John's won a league title now.
Yeah, well, look, yeah. The facts speak for themselves, Ben.
But, like, I will say, just on John as well, you have to remember, he had a stop-start to the season. Like, he was hampered a bit by injury. So, look, obviously, Tariq has done very well overcoming his injury, and I think we'll get to him as well because he was absolutely outstanding.
Let's go straight to Tariq because like as you say, he was injured in pre-season, and then like, it's kind of taken him a good long while to get back fit. And even at that then, Chuck was playing really well. So you're kind of saying, Jesus, Tariq going to get in. He's going to find it difficult because Chuck had been so consistent. And then this mad partnership that I just never seen coming of Tariq as a left-sided centre-back and Evan Caffrey as a right-footed left wing-back. Sligo just couldn't deal with either of them.
No, I think that's where you really caught Sligo on that side when you have Tariq, McEnroy, Caffrey, Wood, whatever combination of the three. There was a lot of 3v2s and overloads on that side that we used really effectively. I think we moved them around the pitch. Like, I think it was watching it back, like, everything kind of comes from that. Like, wide triangles, diamonds on that left side. Like, it just moved them around, moved them where we want them to be, I think. It's a really, really dominant one for me.
I think it's always a good sign for, like, your attacking players when the fullback of the opposition has been booked and gets whipped off at halftime. That's generally a sign that you're doing something very, very good. It's that indecision. Like, if you ask any fullback and you have the potential of Tariq running past you, of Evan Caffrey running inside you, but Tariq is also just as good at driving inside you, and Evan Caffrey is just as good going outside you. It's like,
yeah, plus there's so much uncertainty there, as you said. And one thing with Tariq is he's quite explosive, and you don't really realise until you see him up close, where you look up for a second, he'll take that one touch and he's gone. Like, when he just gets the head down and drives into the box, and he did it so well. I thought his delivery was on point.
Oh, his unbelievable. I sat in Section A with Reggie for the first half, and the amount of unbelievable crosses he put into the box was just, like, they were just perfect. They really, really were. I think it was the manager had mentioned himself that, like, it was like we were playing with the weight of the world on our shoulders. I think he mentioned it in the pre-match, and kind of wanted the shackles off a little bit. I mean, Tariq and Evan Caffrey were the embodiment of taking the shackles off, really, weren't they? They were just so creative. They were just doing all sorts of stuff.
It just flowed so well on that side. Like, there was just, again, so much interplay and moving Sligo around that, like, I think I was watching John Martin's first goal back. Have you watched it back? With the third camera angle from Virgin. It's unbelievable. He does a quick glance over his right shoulder as soon as McEnroy passes it out to Evan Caffrey. So he knows to make that run, and he knows it's uncovered. And it was just, I paused it and watched it, I'm not ashamed to say, about 10 times. I was like, oh, this is the good stuff, because it's just, it's, I don't want to say perfect in every sense, but everyone performs their role perfectly at that time. Evan with, again, wonderful delivery on that side. John, just, to be fair, the epitome of a number nine performance. Like, that is exactly what you want from your striker.
Oh, he was outrageous. We are going to have a John Martin love-in shortly, so we'll keep all the, or most of the John Martin talk for then. But in the interview after the game with John, I spoke about, obviously, Evan gets the two assists, and he's heavily involved in the third one as well. But for anyone that didn't see it, John says in his interview that they were doing, like, walkthroughs the day before the game of, like, different runs and stuff they were hoping to do. And that exact thing happened during the walkthrough. And John told Evan, just do that again tomorrow. Just do that again, and, like, you'll find me. And sure enough, both times. But John's run for the first one especially was just, oh. It was just timed so perfectly. And it felt like, that to me felt like, everything came together there, because we were quite patient before that. We'd kind of broke a little bit, and I think it was Kerr slipped one to Evan, and instead of Evan just, like, shoehorning a ball into the box or trying to beat his man down the line, he just turned back, went to Kerr. I think Kerr went back out to him again, and then it was on for the cross. It was just,
but it's one of those, I've seen the league done it a few times where they've done, like, the play and who's touched the ball. I'd love to see that kind of graphic again, where that passage of play where you can see everyone, because it just kind of sums up how effective we have been in recent weeks, and it's just when you look at performance wise, it's exactly what we should be expecting and what I think worked really well on Friday.
And I think if I am Jerry Nash, the new Cork manager, and you're analysing us to bits from last Friday, I'm looking at that first goal in particular and going, oh, these boys can do either. Like, they can either play around with it and be really patient and try and probe and break you down, or they can not be direct, but it can be as simple as, you know, ball down the line and whip a ball in. Like, I don't know, it's hard to explain. I've been trying to find a word for Friday. I don't know whether it felt like a bit of an evolution or something like that. It was like, right, this, now it's coming together. We got both sides of it. We got that build-up. We got that goal. We got crosses into the box. It was like there was a bit of everything all rolled into one, and we got our rewards. Look, we haven't talked about the opening goal, obviously, that we conceded. That's just, look, caught a bit dopey a couple of minutes into the game. That stuff can happen. My question to you is, was there a panic there when that went in?
No, I don't think so. Like,
and for me, there's been not a panic, but a kind of a, when we've conceded in the last few weeks, it's been like, oh, fuck, here we go. It didn't feel like that on Friday. Don't know why, don't ask me why, but I was extremely confident that we were going to get it back.
Yeah, like, I just think it was one of those, like, Sligo player peels off and gets the header. It's just, yeah, grand, those things can happen. But, like, especially, look, you never want to look for excuses, but you have the likes of Sam Bone, Paddy Barrett, Boydie, like, the real height in your team, not there. That, there's a possibility that happen, like, happening at any stage, and it did, but there was never a panic. It was kind of just, right, grand, let's go. Like, we have something here. And, it, like, from where I was standing, there was no panic. Obviously, stood with Darren near the tunnel, and he said, it's grand, it's fine. Just kind of move on.
It's, you've mentioned it there again about, like, the players that aren't there. Like, when you looked at lads that weren't even involved, like Paddy Barr, Sam Bowen, Boydie, you mentioned, Gano obviously was missing, Connor Kearns is missing, Lewis Temple is missing. And I know, I think there's a dangerous putting maybe a bit of pressure on Lewis Temple, because, like, he is a young lad, but I do think if you lose Paddy, but you kept Lewis, or if you lost Lewis and you kept Paddy, I don't think you have the same kind of, and Sam, of course, like, they're kind of interchangeable, but Sam obviously has played a bit more. Like, to be playing the way we're playing, and we haven't played badly, it's fairly ridiculous, missing the kind of players that we're missing. Like, I don't know, people look and say, oh, they're still going on about the players that are missing, but they're huge players. Like, it's not like you're missing one or two. Every single one of those could be starting on Friday.
They're massive players that can get into most teams in the country, and a lot of sides, you miss that caliber of player, you're, like, everything would start to crumble for us. I think that just comes from the coaching staff, the mentality that they've instilled in the group is simply just, okay, grand, they're not here, we'll use them when they get here. Unfortunately, can't, move on, next man up.
Yeah, it's,
and, like, to be fair to Sligo, they actually did start really well. Like, you can't say they didn't. It was a positive start. They obviously put pressure on early to get that goal, but it was one of those, and I don't know if it's the same for you, where when it does go in early, it felt different to other times this season, because it just felt like in recent weeks especially, things were starting to go well, things were starting to click. Like, I never felt down when the ball hits the back of the net.
No, neither did I. It was like an inconvenience rather than,
yeah, it was more like, oh, oh well, they got one. Come on.
Yeah, definitely. Look, it's time. I've put it off for long enough. It's time for the John Martin love hour. The amount of messages I've got through the question box, people literally writing paragraphs. They're like love notes to John Martin. I don't know whether it's just the type of player that he is, that he just, everyone loves him. He's just, he's a wrecking ball. He'll put his head where most people wouldn't put a foot. He's full of energy. Like, he'll tackle, he'll just do everything. There's nothing he won't attempt to do. And it just felt like that's what your hard work will get you, is a hat-trick. And like so many of them, I've said there about he'll run so much, he'll stick his head in. I think people from outside would pigeonhole him into that sort of role. Like, ah, yeah, he's a good old defensive forward, you know, he'll press really well, he'll do this, that, and the other. That is like proper, I'll get stick for this one, but it's like world-class movement for that first one. Like, he knows, as you said, from the second that ball leaves Kieran McInerney's foot, he knows where that cross is going. He throws his little dummy run. It's like the perfect thing to show to like an under 13 striker. It's like, this is how you move in the box.
What I thought after the game and reflecting on the game, watching it back, that hat trick wasn't about finishing at all. It was everything else you'd want in a striker. It was movement, timing, positional awareness, all of that is where that hat-trick comes from.
Yeah, it was just insane. And I didn't notice this till after I had even done the interview with him, that it was what most people call the perfect hat-trick. Left foot, right foot, header. I don't know why, but I thought the first two were headers. Don't ask me why, because I'm dope. That has a tendency to switch off during games sometimes, but...
You also don't have your glasses on. You're like Velma from Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, I'm still left in charge of comma, but look, that's an argument for another day.
But that first goal, I will say to anyone listening now, watch it back, watch the third camera angle, the close-up, where you see as soon as the ball goes from Kerr back to Evan, it's the little check of the shoulder, see where Hutchinson is, and the run, it's magic. And once you see it once, you'll want to watch it about 10 times. And a lot has been said about Hutchinson and how good he is, but look, John Martin's just better.
I loved when I asked John about the third goal, especially in the post-match. I said to him it wouldn't be winning any Ballon d'Ors. Now, I meant that in that the finish, obviously, was very scruffy. The build-up, again, was fantastic. Evan cutting in. Fullback is saying, oh, shit, like, is Caffrey going inside? Is Tariq going outside? Both of those things happened. Tariq played an unbelievable ball across. But John said that he enjoys those ones more than he does, like, a screamer. And I love that as well. Like, he doesn't give a shit. He really doesn't. Once he gets it over the line, whatever it goes in, good and careless.
Goes in the net either way. So I think it doesn't really matter. I will say, though, if you're opposition, you see that last goal and you're like, you gamble on what they're going to do. Like, what do you do? If like, who do you go with? Who do you track? Like, do you go with Evan? Tariq obviously makes the run. Like, if either of them can do either thing, that's a nightmare for any opposition to match up to.
Yeah, it's actually a good question. Like, I'd love to have like Gano or somebody in front of me now as like one of the best fullbacks that's ever played in the league and say, what would you do? Like, what's the... I would have always said it's like, you always, the ball is always going to be the danger. So you're going to go with Caffrey because he's the one in possession. But it's like you can see it happening, but it's just nothing you can do about it.
But the pass from Evan is just...
The like, weight is unbelievable.
The weight of the pass is unbelievable. It's just a little clip. And he's not even looking. He's looking away. So you think, like, they've just been torn apart there.
Yeah, and you know, I had this, again, we always say this, but when you watch a game live, it's very, very different when you watch it again. And in that first half, I thought in the early stages of the first half, I kind of looked at Reggie, and Reggie... admit this, I was like, geez, Evan's not having his best game here. I obviously look like a complete idiot now in hindsight, but he had tried to play a couple of those little slipped balls down the side and he just overhit a couple of them. It's just, that happens. But as you say, he got the one to Tyreek. The weight is like inch perfect. Tyreek doesn't have to break a stride. Perfect ball across. And how it ended up at John's feet, I just don't know. I've watched the goal back so many times, and I just don't know how it ended up on his left foot of all feet for the perfect hat trick. Now, like, I've had
to John for digging that out, to be fair to him. Like, it's
just pure grit. It's like, the amount of times you'd see a striker in that position and he just kind of stops because he's surrounded by defenders.
He's down on his knees. Everyone's down around him and he just pops back up.
Just
to whack them all.
That's exactly what it's almost like. He just appeared from nowhere. There was a great photo, actually. I apologize. I'm not sure who took it, but it's the faces of all the people behind the goal. It's obviously like mid scramble, and it's that like people are just trying to urge it over the line.
Yeah, like you're nearly screaming, hoping the wind will blow it in.
You just want something to happen. Look, their goal. Their second one, obviously, Owen Elding. That's just, you know, what can you do? You're being fussy. I think was it John O'Sullivan maybe took a bit of a heavy touch? He was trying to kind of break away and it falls to somebody. But like, that's just, hold your hands up to that one and say, that's just an absolute cracker.
There, like in that position, not that you'd live with it, but like, you don't expect what comes next. Nearly one of those where you look back in a year's time, you're just going to be happy you were there to see it live.
Yeah, and I'm well aware that if you're a Sligo fan and listen to this, you're saying, oh yeah, it's easy to say that. You're absolutely right. I wouldn't be sitting here saying that if we had a draw and a loss the game. But it was just incredible. I wouldn't say we'll see a whole lot more of Owen Elding on this side of the water. Anyway, that's for sure. I was going to say something else about John. Oh, John Martin's hat-trick. So I've had this argument with somebody. There is different schools of thought on whether it's the perfect hat-trick or not. So, I would have always leaned on the left foot, right foot, header. Perfect hat-trick.
Yes.
That's not what the Germans say, Ben.
Ah, yeah, but they're real sticklers.
It's just such a something else there. They would consider it has to be uninterrupted. So, you need to score your three goals all in a row. So that would have obviously ruled John's out. And also, it's meant to be three goals in the same half. Now to that, I say, fuck the Germans. It was the perfect hat-trick. I do like the Germans, but in this case, they're wrong. They're too efficient. It's the perfect hat-trick, and I won't hear anything else. I won't hear anything else said about it. Any other standout performers for you, Ben? I would say Larkin Healy as well. He popped up with some big saves in the first half, especially.
I think Harry Ward again, he just does so much running. Like, he just does that dog work. I thought he's pretty good. Tariq, I just thought was excellent coming back in.
It was one of those. I think, generally speaking, it's a sign of a good team performance when you can't really pick out individuals as such.
Yeah, it's just
very, very solid, I thought. We were really solid. We looked really impressive. We kept the ball really well, picked our moments, went to maybe take a risk, take a chance. Yeah, almost obviously conceding too. Like, people are looking from the outside. I never really felt under pressure, though, did you? I never felt like we were going to slip and draw or lose the game.
No, I didn't. I just felt like it was there for us. Like, I just think we were head and shoulders above them in terms of general play. I was never worried. I just think you're just waiting for it all to fall. And I think you could, if anyone was in any way superstitious, you could nearly gamble and make a bet that John Martin would have scored a hat-trick, because the last time we had the number two goalkeeper start a game, the number 10 did score a hat-trick.
Correct. That being Jack Moyle, of course. Nice bit of trivia there.
So, nearly written in the stars.
If you're into that sort of thing, the Germans probably are. So look, good day at the office. Think everyone left Tolka happy. That brought us on to Saturday. Obviously, the All-Ireland Cup game. We travelled up to a place up the road. A 1-1 draw. Look, you can look at it two kind of ways. I think you're always going to get a backlash from them, obviously, after the pace that they took in the last game. And in all fairness, I think the draw just, like, it leaves you looking very good to qualify for the quarterfinals. Like, I think it's
4-2-2-1 in terms of points, isn't it? It's us on 4, Balls,
Lino
2, Linfield on 1, I believe.
Yeah, so like you might look at it from outside and kind of go, oh, that might have been a bit of a slip, but like that one was a bit of a freak one, the spanking they took the last time. So you're always going to get a backlash. They're always going to put in a better performance. Mackenzie Anthony again. And sometimes, Ben, you cannot beat a simple goal. Like, we're talking there about John Martin's goals and like the runs, the timings of the runs. Now, this one had a very good timing element to it, obviously, with it being a set piece. But I just love a corner, one touch, bang, ball in the net. Do I just like the simple pleasures? Simple, man.
Yeah, to be fair, but I think that sometimes that's just what you need, isn't it? Like, well worked goals. Yeah. I'll take them any day.
So would I, absolutely. Anytime the All-Ireland Cup comes around, Ben, we got a bit of this last year as well. Some people are very blasé on it. They're kind of like, don't know, it's kind of gets in the way. It's nearly like a hindrance. I don't buy into that at all. Like, when the Satanta Cup was alive, I loved it. I just thought getting to play different teams, like going to different grounds, I loved everything about the Satanta Cup. And
it's another piece of silverware. It's another thing to go for. It's another thing to get you out of bed on a Saturday morning. Like, I'm not really buying into that. Oh, it's just this thing where you shoehorned in to have. No, it's not. It's an important thing. It's, if anything, it'll speak well for the game. It'll help grow the game and help improve it.
I'm so proud that the All-Ireland Cup, Stanta Cup, whatever you want to call it. I wish it would be brought back on the male side as well, because I just, especially if it's not having a League Cup, like that, I don't understand. I kind of get the, for the women's game not having the League Cup, I kind of get it, just because like it's quite a small league in terms of teams, and obviously there's only the top tier, so I get not having the League Cup, but I don't know, the more competitions you're in, the better, for me anyway. But that's, look, as I say, everyone's going to have different kind of thoughts on that. Let's do our Richie rankings, Ben. Let's do our Richie rankings, because obviously we're on the back of Owen Whelan's team, hopefully looking good to qualify for the next round of the All-Ireland Cup. I want to give him a Richie Baker to one of those things that it's, when you see it, you kind of go, that's absolutely mad. But Kate McCabe winning the Champions League as an ex-Red, like there's photos of her like wearing the three castles, and you're going, you see her then like on the telly lifting that Champions League, and you go, that is absolutely mad. And then obviously you see some of the girls putting up photos playing in the same team as her, obviously with Raheny, which then went on to, you know, become Shells or amalgamate with Shells, whatever the term you want to use is. It's just incredible, isn't it?
That's absolutely amazing to see for us as Shells fans, us as fans of the Irish team. Like, it's just, it's great to see. There's no other way to put it. But if you look at the experience in that dressing room, the players that have played alongside her, had the pleasure to call her a teammate, and you see that, and then you have young girls coming into the squad, and they're like, this is where she started. She walked these same halls. She played in these same grounds. She got changed in the same dressing room. Like, that's, and now look where she is. That's an amazing thing to be able to see for a player.
Yeah, and even past that again, like, you're going into training and you're training with the likes of Pearl, Noelle, Rachel. I know Rebecca Cray is still involved as well, and I know I'm going to miss a couple there, and I do apologise, but like, the likes of Pearl can be sitting there going, yeah, I played with her. And like, it's just, as you say, I think if you're a young girl coming into that setup, like, that's where you want to be. Like, you want to be kind of walking in the footsteps of somebody like that. So Katie McCabe is definitely my Richie Baker for this week. I do have an honourable mention for Gav Malloy as well. Obviously won the Scottish Cup. You know, he didn't play. He's obviously been injured, but before he picked up that injury, he was like a regular starter on that team. I know there will be a good few listeners to this won't be happy with me giving that to an Aberdeen player, but Gav was always... He's one of my favourite defenders in probably of all time that played for Shells. I just loved him as a player. I thought he was amazing. I liked him as a fella as well. So an honourable mention for Gav Malloy, but it is Kate McCabe taking away the my Richie Baker this week. What have you got, Ben?
You've kind of robbed one of mine. I wanted to go with Kate McCabe as well, but to be fair, Gav Malloy said, great to see him do well, unfortunate with the injury, but hopefully that's just room for him to come back and do just as well next year. And of course, gave us great moments in Shell's colours. Obviously, that goal in Waterford. He's had a lot of great moments in Waterford. That was that goal in Waterford. That was his last game for the Reds, and he made a show of you in Waterford. So,
yeah.
A lot of big moments.
And he was so apologetic in the process of making an absolute fucking fool of me. But, yeah, that's probably a measure of the man, really.
Yeah, great fella. So, delighted for him. And obviously, Katie goes without saying, it's an unbelievable achievement. If I am going to have to give out a Richie Baker, I'm going to give it to someone who's actually kind of doing a 180 here, someone that's a former Richie Winder.
Oh, dear. This could go anywhere.
It's Roddy Collins.
Oh, come on.
Pats have no identity. Oh, good stuff. I think he's right as well. I think he's pretty spot on with his analysis of how things have gone at that team.
It's a weird old situation of Pats.
Ah, the mad pin up there.
Yeah, I mean,
like, they've so much quality just with names, and like, it's a good side. You can't argue it's a good team, but it's just not clicking. It's going sour with the fans. It just doesn't seem to be a real togetherness or cohesion there, and it's great to see.
It is. It's fantastic to see. I just find with Roddy, he's just a great media man. He just knows.
Like, he knows what's going to do well. He knows.
He got, like, it's like the thing, calling me for the worst finisher in the league. He just knows this is going to get people talking. And I think he's great. I was delighted with Virgin brought back, because, like, I'd watch those broadcasts just for him. I just think he's hilarious. He's absolutely, man, he's just mad. Just doesn't care. Says what he wants. And I've got an awful lot of time for that. He's kind of old school in that way. It'd bring you back to the kind of Dunphy days of just saying mad shit.
I was literally only talking about this the other day with a fella in work. We were talking about how great RTE used to be in a Champions League. You know, because you'd have Bill drop an absolute grenade and the lads just screaming at each other.
It was only so good because it was so shit. That's the other thing. Like, two of the best Irish players ever sitting in that studio who could give you so much football insight, and then just dump you in the middle of it, just saying mad stuff to rile everyone up. It was amazing. I would very much like to go back to it. Get rid of these people talking tactics. Forget about all that. Just say mad shit. Get the ratings up. That's what people really want. My Richie Winter, Ben, I've struggled. I have to say, I've had a kind of week going.
I haven't.
Right. hang on, mine's a bit softer than yours, I'd say, so I'll rattle through mine quickly. I've had to give it to Reggie because he
the CBO is on the way out.
Well, there's two reasons for this. The man, he slipped up again. He slipped up. He knows what he did in that regard. I made the list for him, sent it directly to him, and he still can't keep up with Berthes. So look, that's problem number one. Now, the other one is he shafted me with Comey. Obviously, I know that has to input the substitutions, which is an absolute disaster when there's multiple ones going on the one time. Like, the day that two teams both make three subs at the same time, my brain's going to explode in Tolke. But he gave me the wrong player at halftime for the Sligo sub. I was like, right, number 10 or whatever it was is coming on. Reggie, who's gone off? And he's like, number 6. Straight away, he didn't even hesitate. Yeah, number 6. So I just believed him, put it in. And then
Reggie's so sure of these things.
Yeah, with about 15 minutes to go, Sligo made a sub. And I said to you, Ben, did you catch who went off there for Sligo? And you told me, yeah, it was number 6. Said, no, he's gone off already. No, he's not. He's only walking off now.
Walking off right there.
Yeah, so, Reggie get my Richie Winter just because he shafted me with that. I am blind and can't see what's going on, but,
okay, Velma.
That's more reason to make sure you're giving me the right info. So, yeah, look, you sounded like you were about to really get into someone there, so come on, let's have it.
I don't know, it's just something I think is hilarious. It's Alan Reynolds again. look, I'm sure everyone has seen the video of the post-match after Drogheda, and it's unbelievable head loss from the man.
He always kind of has it in the locker.
He's just
you know what, right? The thing I enjoyed about it more, actually, is that Kev Doherty has just found this kind of, I don't want to say he found a personality, because he's a very personable fella, like, he's not. But he's just found this kind of, he's become a bit of a bastard, really, has he? I
think so.
Could just, maybe, he's not gone full bastard yet. Like, he tried to live on Virgin, and he was just too nice to cane everyone. But he's getting there, like, he's really riled Rennie up on that occasion.
But it's not very hard to rile up a man that, fan base will turn on him after one negative result.
Yeah, well, that's also true. That is also true, I suppose.
A man on borrowed time accusing someone else of trying to rob his job. spoiler alert, no one wants that job.
Yeah,
it was unbelievable. And he just lost the head for no reason. Was it just because, was it just Kev Doherty wanted to go applaud the fans?
Yeah, I think that was what people said. The final whistle went and he went straight over to the crowd rather than shaking hands first. I don't know. All that stuff about, it's like the whole thing of players shaking hands before a game. I just think it's fucking stupid. I know, look, it's sportsmanship and all the rest of it, but do it after the game. But if you don't feel the need to shake somebody's hand, then just don't. Is it really that big a deal? Like, really? Who cares?
Grown men, I believe, is what is the usual go-to here.
Yeah. I don't know. It's mountain and molehill stuff. Like, how dare you go and celebrate before you shake hands with me? Yeah. Away. I've actually, I've seen a couple of times in the last couple of days the playoffs have been on. And, like, managers will lose the head celebrating for, like, a split second of full time. And then it's like they stop and freeze and go, I have to shake hands with the other manager. Like, if I'm the opposition manager, I'm going, you know what? Go lose the plot. Go and celebrate. Like, I'll see you inside. It's not that big a deal. It's really not. They did it a few weeks ago with Duffer and Bradley as well. And Duffer himself, I think, came out after him. It was like, this is just stupid now. People making a big fuss out of absolutely nothing. Bedwetters who just need something to moan and give out about.
That's literally it. It's like, what is the issue? He doesn't come to him straight away. So then he goes mental, but like, to do that in front of everyone else, it's insane. Like, the fact that the video is circulating, like, it's embarrassing.
Yeah, well, if nothing else, it's a bad look. you know, you've just made yourself look very rattled. And if it was me, and I know, like, you shouldn't be doing it this way, but, like, would you not be trying to rile him up now?
Yeah.
Like, during a game or before a game, whatever the case may be, you'd be like, yeah, we can get into him, we can throw him off. Like,
if you're Kev Doherty, you go one up against balls, you turn and be like, oh, I'll have your job soon.
Yeah, oh, man. Oh, yeah, I'd enjoy that.
Like, well, look, it's just, someone said, when I saw it online, someone was like, this is like a scene out of Step Brothers.
And look, I know we have a certain slant on this because we're all massive fans of Kev Doherty, but if there's one thing that you just couldn't accuse Kev Doherty of being, would be like, he's not disrespectful, or like, he's far from it. You see it, Ben, like, he doesn't know us from Adam. But just because you have a Shell's crest, like, he'll come over and he'll go out of his way to say hello, and he'll always shake hands. And, like, it's like this weird thing where I think he's still a Shell's man at heart, and he's kind of, it's like he feels uneasy about taking points off you. I always get that kind of vibe off him. It's like he's apologetic to you after games. But we're very pro Kev Doherty here, and great shithousing from the man.
Yeah, very anti the other side of things, personally. Don't like the man. Like, don't respect the man. I just think he's kind of makes a bit of a show of himself sometimes. Wouldn't be his biggest fan.
No, that's fair. We all have our opinions, Ben. Some are correct. Question box. We had Callum Slater, who just said, John Martin, Ole. Steve OB said, delighted for John Martin, he always gives us 100%. H was unreal again, and really good to see Temple warming up beforehand. Yeah, I think that might went under the radar a little bit, that Lewis has the boots back on and he's back out in the grass, so hopefully not a million miles away from a return. No other real update on the rest of them. Paddy Barrett should have just had a piece of paper stuck to his head that said, please stop asking me when I'm back. Because, like, one, he's not going to give you an answer. Like, he's not going to say, oh, yeah, I'm out for 12 weeks. And he's also not going to say, oh, I'm back next week. Like, you're not going to get an answer. Don't bother asking the question. Dara said, I thought it was a great win, and we're back to winning ways. Hopefully we push on. The manager mentioned that after about trying to put a run together now, and we were probably looking forward to the break earlier in the season, but this was probably coming at a bit of a bogey time, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just one of those that, again, the stop-start nature of the league, I never really understand the break and why it happens, and packing all the fixtures in, would you not just extend the season to the end of November? Like, they're just, I don't know, it seems a little bit brainless to me to have the breaks and then have the fixtures packed in.
That's silly. It's just silly. But, you know, it's one of them things. That mid-season break was always just an accepted thing. Like, it always just happened. Nobody ever really questioned it. And it wasn't until the manager kind of came in. And I remember the first time he talked about it. And you'd kind of stop and go, Joey's actually right. Like, what? It's mid-season. It's like, yeah, lads, have 2 weeks off there. And everyone piss off on holidays. Like, what?
Like, he is right in the way that, like, as soon as that last ball is kicked, you can go on a Saturday morning to Dublin Airport and you'll get a good few signatures and a good few pictures if you're looking, because it's where you'll find 90% of the league.
Yeah, just very, very strange. Very, very strange indeed.
I just think it would make more sense to extend the league. Like, we have one of the longest off seasons in Europe, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, we do. It's the longest.
Yeah. So, like, why not just extend it, and then you don't have this issue where you're piling Friday, Monday, Fridays for 3 weeks at a time.
It's just...
Do
you know what? Like, I think it affects teams way more than people think as well, those Monday games. Like, when they're rammed in for no reason at all, when they don't need to be, it's like... Why are we doing this? This is just nonsense.
Why most of them are rammed in. Like,
Like, it affects the crowds, it affects players' like ability to play because it's such a quick turnaround when it just doesn't need to be quick. Like, I know the likes of the Championship and the Football League in England is a really long season, so they have to play midweek games, but it's just, there's no need. It's just silly. Feels like one of those big things that just needs to change. There was actually, the other thing I wanted to mention earlier was, for anyone who are podcast listeners and who like are just, you're looking for something else to listen to other than the 1895, of course, Mossy Quinn was recently on Indo Sport with Joe Malloy, and obviously as our new CEO, it's a really interesting kind of chat. He touches on more than just the Reds, of course. It's the usual FAI stuff and all that, but it's well worth a listen just for somebody insight into what he has kind of seen since he's come in and where he kind of feels we can improve on. It's an very interesting funny. Listen. Yeah, he comes across really, really well. And yeah, he's seems to have settled in really well. He seems to enjoy being in Talca. That'll probably wear off when he realises how stressful it is. But
we love it nonetheless. Like we
can want to be anyone else.
Say anything about the stress of the place and whatever. But we wouldn't change any of it, and you wouldn't change any of the faces you see. So,
no, most definitely not. There was a rank of other people in the crash box. Generally, just a lot of people just literally said John Martin.
Dudy, I know you are probably a big fan of the caption from the club account for the John Martin Magic.
Oh, Juan Martin.
Yes. Juan Martin, ole, ole, ole.
Juan Martin was born in the car on the way to Drogheda?
I think it was.
Was it Drogheda, yeah? Good old AI. You can't beat it.
Yeah, we gave the whole squad Spanish names that hopefully will see the light of day.
Yeah, they'll all get various outings as the season goes on.
Yeah, hopefully next time we have a player on as a guest, we can go through their team as Spanish players and see if they can guess them. We've already sampled it with H. He enjoyed it.
Yeah, speaking of Spanish players, or Spanish speaking, the Champions League draw is creeping up on us, Ben. It's creeping up. It's getting very, very close.
Don't get me too excited. Yeah. This year, I feel like it's really crept up. Last year, it was one of those.
Oh, it was an endless way. It was just, yeah. Oh, I felt like it had never come. I really did.
You're like, come on, do something.
Yeah.
Just now, waiting for Europe to happen.
Of course, like little did we know, isn't it mad to think that like in the build, all of last season was just Europe for me. It's all I thought about the first half of the season. It was all that, like, every game that
it was just we won,
it was like, another week closer to Europe. Like, little did we know at the time what we'd go on to do last year. It's mad to look back and think that way.
It's one of those where I'd absolutely love, weirdly enough, to spend the time to sit down and watch each game back, just to even see if you could get back in that mindset of what you thought before this game or before this game, or like even like the week before the European games, you're just like, oh, here we are, it's here. And then you fast forward to November and everything changes.
And we all lost our minds.
Like, even saying it now, Europe and win the league don't feel like they go together.
No, in a weird way, yeah, I know, I do. I know exactly what you mean. Well, Ben, what I would say is there's a strong chance, well, not a strong chance, it's a fucking whatever. You're a teacher, you'll know the odds, but we could go to Gibraltar again.
Oh, good Lord.
I'd love to go back to Gibraltar. Gibraltar's a kip, but I just have such good memories in Gibraltar.
To be fair, they have The Rock and they have
Nothing else. Literally, there's nothing else.
With some nice churches.
They have weather. They have nice weather.
There's some nice churches and there's history to read up on there. The Great Siege. Well, what were we, the 15th siege?
Oh,
Am I misremembering that?
I'm sitting here just smiling. I loved Gibraltar purely just for what we did and the scenes after the game, and I just, one of those great European memories. So I would most definitely love to go back there, because I would also fancy us in on the football end of things as well. But yeah, we're getting a bit ahead of ourselves, aren't we, really? I don't know how this came up, but we're nearly there. We're at that point, Ben. We're rambling. We're rambling on and on. If Dazzler was sitting here now, he'd be looking at me, giving me the eyes, being like, right, Mom, wrap up. Time to finish. He would be.
How long?
Yeah, we're out of time. As I say, there will not be an 1895 podcast next week. Just with the break. I know. It's good for people to recharge a little bit. So there won't be a pod next week. We will be back the following week. Without me, I'll be gone for a few weeks. So, Ben, congratulations. You're now the host of the 1895 podcast.
Reggie, congratulations. You're now the host of the 1895 podcast.
I hope you do as much research for this podcast as I do.
So, none.
That is not fair. I do research for this podcast. Believe it or not.
I do.
You wouldn't think, fucking, I got enough of that in primary school.
Oh, yeah. The last name, of course.
Yeah. It's been better. Anyway, look, we're done. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Ben, for giving up your Monday.
Up the Reds.
Thanks for listening to the 1895 podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne FC, Dublin's finest since 1895. Don't forget to give us a 5-star rating on Apple or Spotify, and subscribe now to never miss a new episode.